You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Pentagon's massive accounting fraud exposed how U.S. military spending keeps rising even as the Pentagon flunks audit. That was the headline of an article published last week in The Nation. And the article's gotten the attention of quite a few Washington politicians and a lot of journalists. And with us now is the man who wrote the piece for The Nation, Dave Lindorf. Welcome to Stateside.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks for having me on.
And with us is Mark Skidmore, an economics professor at Michigan State University. His years-long research on the Pentagon's budget irregularities formed the basis for Dave's story. Welcome back to Stateside, Mark. Good to have you here.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks again for having us.
So, Dave, you start your piece by pointing out last month the Pentagon failed its first ever audit. How did that happen?
Well, in 1990, Congress passed a law called the CFO Act, which mandates that all federal entities that have a budget have to make it auditable based on following the rules of federal accounting standards, and they submit to audits every year for outside audits. Gradually, they've all worked to the point where they all are in compliance with that order, except for one agency, and that happens to be the Pentagon, which also is the largest single line item in the federal budget, with 54% of your tax dollars going to the Pentagon. And they were supposed to be in compliance by, I think, 1996. And they've stonewalled. The way this audit happened is Congress finally just threw up their hands and said, you're going to do the audit. They allocated $900 million to hire outside auditors led by E&Y, used to be called Ernst & Young. 1,200 auditors went through Pentagon books for a year, and they came up with nothing. The only things they were able to audit well were, and this is significant, is the retirement plan and the payroll.
Wow. Mark, give us a recap of how you came to discover Pentagon's auditing irregularities and what you found.
Sure. I had been listening to an interview with a former government official, Catherine Austin Fitch. She's a former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under Bush number one. And she had referred to a report produced by the Office of the Inspector General, the OIG, for the Army. And in fiscal year 2015, the Army had $122 billion authorized spending budget. But the OIG report indicated that it had $6.5 trillion with a T in unsupported adjustments. These are essentially transactions that our own government officials say they cannot verify. And I have a background in public budgeting and public finance, and I just thought, that's not possible. $122 billion budget, $6.5 trillion in unsupported adjustments. So I found the report myself on the OIG website, and I started reading it, and I had a lot of questions. I contacted Catherine, and we decided to work together. I asked some of my graduate students to pore through thousands of documents on government websites, especially the OIG website. And what we compiled was incomplete, but we found that our own government records indicate $21 trillion in transactions that cannot be verified.
When you say transactions, so this is all in-house. This is, I have some money here, but I'm going to slide it over to that pot, and then from that pot to another pot. Is that what's kind of happening, where you can't follow where this all went?
With these summary reports, I don't know. There are some examples that just don't make sense, but they're so vague, it's hard to determine. This captured Dave's attention, and he decided to look into it and did a lot of research. The culmination of that is the article that we're talking about today. So maybe Dave can offer a summary of all of his work and talking with people, then we can come back around and talk about what that means.
Sure, go, Dave.
Well, let me say that I actually got attracted to this story first in 2016 with that same $6.5 trillion number. When it first came out, it sort of was out there in the alternative media, and I read it, and I thought, geez, how come I'm not reading about that in the Times and the Post and seeing it on CBS? That's a huge number, and it doesn't make any sense. I wasn't even looking at the Army part. I was looking at the Pentagon budget was about $500 billion, and then they had this $6.5 trillion figure in the budget. So I did a piece for FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, about that. It was called The Pentagon Money Pit, and I was trying to figure out, mainly a media review article, why doesn't the mainstream press even look into this number? And in the course of that, I interviewed a press officer, the top press officer for the Defense Department's Office of Inspector General, a woman named Bridget Sirchak. So she told me, oh, these adjustments are just what accountants normally do with public companies. You know, they round things up. And she gave me an example of part of the Army budget where there was a total on one part of the budget that was $0.2 billion, and it was changed to $90 billion, and she called that rounding.
That's quite a rounding.
Yeah, I said, geez, that is really not right. So I put that in the piece, and, you know, I don't know what it was either, reacted the same way Mark did. And then Mark came out with his study that said that that was just one example, and that between 1998 and 2015, all those various OIG reports on different aspects of the Pentagon budget had these weird numbers, you know, and I'm going to use the term plugged because that's the Pentagon's term, plugs in their budget that are really numbers that don't have underlying supporting ledger entries to explain them.
So they're, as you put in your piece, they're phony numbers.
Well, that was my conclusion,
yeah.
And that was based not on my own thinking, but on interviews I had with some key people. Asif Khan, who I interviewed on the record at the GAO, who heads the National Security Asset Management Unit of the GAO that monitors, you know, the Pentagon budget, the CIA budget, those various national security budgets, Energy Department. Then I also got it from Mark Armstrong, who's a very key figure because he spent 6 years as the supervising director of audits for the OIG, which is the internal auditor for the Pentagon. And he said these numbers that the Pentagon submits to Congress are garbage, and they should tell Congress when they submit them, we're giving you this, but it's all garbage. So I just thought, wow. You
know? Yeah, that's...
In fact, you know, they say that some of the things were supported, some of these numbers were supported and some were not. And I asked him about that because he had that written in a report that he filed for the OIG on, I think it was the 2015 budget. And he said, well, yeah, but supported in that context meant that they were signed off on by the proper senior official, not that the ledger documents supported them. So even supported doesn't mean supported.
There you go. Because within the Pentagon, they're basically saying, yeah, we're approving all of this, and gosh, don't ask us about it, is what I took away from your story, Dave Lindorf. I'm talking with Dave Lindorf, whose piece for The Nation is titled The Pentagon's Massive Accounting Fraud Exposed, and also talking with Mark Skidmore, economics professor at Michigan State University. We have talked with him before on Stateside about his research on the Pentagon's budget irregularities. And Mark, when you found these budget irregularities that add up to $21 trillion, these transactions between 1998 and 2015, couldn't be traced, couldn't be documented, you go to the Pentagon and ask about it, reached out to the Department of Defense. How did it respond?
Well, I just wasn't able to get anywhere, and I really emphasize trying to reach out to the Office of the Inspector General because most of the reports are produced by them, and I was not able to get any real feedback or information. At one point, they just stopped responding to my emails and questions. You know, I'm not an insider. What I'm trying to do is, as a researcher, look at these and try to ask reasonable questions that we all should have answers to. And so I was not able to get any additional information from the Office of the Inspector General. And as highlighted in Dave's article, the most recent report for the Navy was fully redacted. So now, you know, one cannot even ask those kinds of questions. And
am I right that the Office of the Inspector General actually pulled reports down from the website?
They did pull reports off. It's not clear whether they were revamping their website or what, so that they were removed for a time and then put back on under new URLs. So I leave it to your listeners to determine what that means. I don't know.
And David,
but they came back censored. Not the old ones, but the new stuff is being censored, apparently.
The thing that I found interesting in your piece, Dave Lindorf, was after the Pentagon flunked its audit, its one and only audit that came years too late, 1,200 auditors kind of threw up their hands. Describe for us the reaction about failing the audit that you cite in your story from the Deputy Defense Secretary, Patrick Shanahan.
Yeah, no, he came on and he said, well, we failed the audit, but we expected to fail the audit. And besides, we should get credit for doing this because, you know, it's a big budget and we should be getting credit for trying. But no reporters asked him about the fact that they'd been stonewalling for 26 years and refusing to do the audit. That's a little, you know, self-congratulatory to say you should get credit for waiting 26 years and then doing it. You know, the excuses they've given for not doing an audit, my favorite is their main one, is they say, well, look, we have these legacy systems and they don't talk to each other. They've been saying that for 26 years. When they started, I was using a K-Pro computer with, you know, I think it was 64K internal memory. And, you know, they've had so much money thrown at them every year that they could have bought, I don't know, how many Watson computers and had this thing done. But basically what I'm told by, you know, Chuck Spinney and Mark Armstrong and other people that are inside the Pentagon is it's clear that the Pentagon does not want to be audited, has not wanted to be audited, and, you know, going forward does not want to be audited.
And Dave, in your piece, you called what the Pentagon's been doing a fraud. And we see businesses shuffling money from one pot to another and back again, the old borrowing from Peter to pay Paul adage. What is different here? What do you see as a fraud?
Well, because they're making up the numbers, they're not, unless, you know, Mark has a suspicion that some of it is real, and there's some evidence of that. I mean, he cited one that I think is really indicative, was in the Army budget. There's one area where they say they have 900 and some billion dollars in accounts payable. This is on a budget of $122 billion. They have $900 billion in accounts payable, and then they also have on the same page incoming funds transferred from the Treasury to the Army account of $724 billion. I mean, these are enormous numbers. I tried to get the Treasury to tell me whether there was, in fact, from their end, $700 billion that was transferred to the Army account. They never responded. Even the PR department wouldn't respond to me. My suspicion is that there is no connecting transfer from the Treasury of that amount of money. That's a huge sum that's bigger than the Pentagon budget that year, transferred supposedly to the Army. And the idea that that would somehow not show up in many other ways as being, you know, used. And they don't identify the accounts payable, of course, in this other number.
If I may.
So, you know, so these are definitely curiosities that should be the subject of a massive Pentagon hearing with the parties put under oath. And that's what's not happening.
Yeah. Go ahead. I just wanted to add another example. And this is one that I've been harping on since we did the interview last December, Cindy. Mm-hmm. Not harping, but pulling on the string, if you will, because I felt this was a question that the Office of the Inspector General could provide an answer to. And there were, in that same report for the Army and the $6.5 trillion in unsupported adjustments, there were 170 transactions that the OIG says are unsupported, unverified transactions amounting to $2.1 trillion. And that's such a huge number, $2.1 trillion and 170 transactions. After I did the interview with you, the OIG responded to your inquiry and said we'd be happy to provide more information. And I said, well, you know, forget about the $800 billion transfer from Treasury or the $900 billion in accounts payable, et cetera, but just provide an addendum or a spreadsheet, maybe even post it online so that we can see what those 170 adjustments were for. That's about $12 billion per adjustment on average. Mm-hmm. Those numbers are so huge that I have trouble understanding how they could just be made up numbers or plugs. And so, and this is where Dave and I have a different view. I've said, we cannot know if they're plugs or if maybe there really are huge amount of money flowing in and flowing out of the DOD until we actually have access to the underlying data. And I've tried to be consistent in that message as I've talked about this and written about it. You know, what does it actually represent? And we get these general responses. At this point, my confidence and trust is low. You know, sometimes we have to take people at their word. You know, we think they're trustworthy. But at this point, I just want to see actual underlying data points. And that was one I felt the OIG could provide in a, you know, less than a day's effort, and they won't provide it.
Now, Mark, you and your team, as we said, found a total of $21 trillion of DoD financial transactions that couldn't be traced or documented. And then this really blew up when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the progressive representative-elect from New York, helped this blow up and go viral by incorrectly tweeting that the $21 trillion could have paid for two-thirds of the estimated cost for so-called Medicare for All. Mark, what did she get wrong? What did she misunderstand?
Well, I think Dave and I would have slightly different interpretations. My thing is, well, part of this could be what Dave says. It's just all made up numbers. And part of it could be, well, maybe there really are large amounts of money flowing. We just don't know. We need to have an inquiry, you know, under oath, and we need to see the data. And my take on it is, whether you're sort of on the left or the right, you still need rule of law and you need to follow. And so then we can worry about how we spend money and what we do if we have a level of transparency and rule of law that we can all agree on.
What's your take on her tweet, Dave?
Well, I think what she got wrong was she assumed that it was a pot of money that had been spent over that period of time. That was not either Mark's or my assertion. And by the way, I think Mark would agree with me on this. The plugs or the numbers are on both sides of the ledger sheet. Some of the numbers are for assets coming in, and some of them are liabilities going out. You know, money spent, money received. So even if it were real money, it wouldn't be $21 trillion in real money. On the other hand, the numbers that Mark looked at are only a fraction of the Pentagon's budget, because the OIG, whose documents he was looking at, only audits parts of the Pentagon budget each year, or reviews parts of the budget. One year they did the Marines, one year they did the Army, one year they did the Navy. And so the whole vast parts of the Pentagon budget don't get looked at by the OIG every year. So there could be even vastly more of these numbers.
Actually, that's absolutely right. We really don't know how many of these transactions.
And as we see from reading your piece, Dave Lindorf, in The Nation, that Congress has not asked very many questions about this and mentioned the Budget and Armed Services Committees specifically. Have you gotten any assurances from senators or House representatives that someone's going to look into this, someone's going to take this more seriously?
You know, the response to this has been so pathetic, I can't believe it. That, first of all, you know, when Mark's research came out, that got some attention. At least it got into Forbes, you know, a consequential magazine. Nobody in Congress has said, geez, we got to look at this. They just had the hearings in the fall on the 2019 budget. Not a word came up about this. One guy, Congressman Grassley, from Iowa, who has
He's a senator, right? Iowa senator.
Yeah. He's been pretty dogged in demanding that the Pentagon do an audit, and he's been pretty harsh. He called the CFO of the Pentagon and Undersecretary David Norquist to the carpet in 2017, saying, how is it that 26 years you poured money into the Pentagon to fix your so-called legacy systems? You do all these fancy weapons, you fund all these wars and everything, but you can't fund an audit? You can't accomplish an audit? What is that? And he said, I have to assume from all of this that you really don't want to do an audit. So he's been really dogged on the audit thing. But when I tried to get him to respond on the record to the numbers that Mark came up with, to the what the Pentagon calls plugs, there's no response. They wouldn't commit. See, I think, and this is where Mark and I disagree, I think that the purpose of these plugs and the reason they would put these absurd numbers out there, you know, and invite this kind of ridicule, is that they want the Pentagon budget to be completely obtuse, unreadable, and the numbers make it so that both members of Congress and members of the corporate media are afraid to go after it, because you look like a, you know, tinfoil-headed conspiracy theorist if you take it seriously.
Mark?
Well, you know, and this is not a widely known, but for many years, it was Lockheed Martin that had the contract to run the financial system for the DOD and the government. I think they recently spun that off into another firm. So the financial systems are contracted out to the defense industry, which seems like a conflict of interest in my mind.
that fits nicely with what I was also told, was that what this does, because the Pentagon makes their budget completely impermeable to audits, the agency is listed, and I've never seen this written anywhere, but it should be. According to Asif Khan, the Pentagon has for years been up at the top of their list at the GAO of high-risk agencies for fraud, waste, and abuse. And that should have people in the streets with pitchforks in Washington, that agency of all agencies is at high risk year after year of fraud, waste, and abuse. And one of the places where the primary area for fraud, I'm told, is in contractor support funding. Every time there's a contract, like for Lockheed Martin's epic flying turkey, the F-35, you got a $1.5 trillion budget for that most expensive weapon system ever built, and it doesn't work. A lot of that money is for what's called contractor support, which is the overhead for doing a big project. You know, you have the cost of building the planes, designing and building the planes, but then you have buildings, airfields for testing, you know, all this stuff in repairs, parts, all that stuff, and that's all under contractor support. Just this spring, the Air Force told Lockheed Martin that they can't figure out how they're spending their contractor support money, and that the costs of contractor support looking forward to the life of the plane are rising so fast that they said they're going to have to consider cutting their order by a third, which would double the price per unit of the plane, since you still have to pay Lockheed Martin the contracted amount, however many planes you order. So there's an example of where the accounting being completely opaque even makes it so the Pentagon doesn't know
what
their contracts are doing. And the contractors get $350 billion a year. That's half the Pentagon's budget.
So here we have, as you described, Dave Lindorf, the goal of having a totally opaque Pentagon budget, and you describe the reactions of Congress, specifically the Budget and the Armed Services Committees. Your word was pathetic. So, Mark, based on those realities in your years of study, what is needed for future transparency?
Well, if we wanted to have an independent audit, we could make it work. In my experience with state government, for example, if you take the three largest states, New York, Texas, and California, their budgets sum to something around $500 or $600 billion in the similar ballpark as the DOD, although now they're up around $700 billion. I mean, they have complex intergovernmental transfer systems to municipalities and schools. They own land, they own capital all over their respective states, so complex in terms of geography. And every year they produce an independent audit report, and they don't have adjustments that are so convoluted. I think it's possible to do this, even though I understand that the military has many installations globally, and it's a challenge. So I think it's possible. If we wanted to do it, we could do it. So the question is why not? You know, it could be just all fake numbers, or it could be more than that. And I just want to look at the underlying data, and we need to have actual inquiry under oath about what might be happening. And that's the first step. And the second thing, and I really want to talk about this, I think Dave does as well, is the recent FASAB ruling. This is the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board ruling, which just institutionalizes non-transparency.
Yeah, they came up with a proposed guideline in the summer that suggested that agencies with secret budgets, classified budgets, should be able to fake the numbers in their budgets, and also should be able to, this is, they didn't use the term, but the Pentagon uses it, nipper the funds, you know, clip them out of the classified budget and move them into some other place where they'll be hidden from prying eyes. So this was a proposal, and I looked at the comment letters. It was really interesting because, well, first the OIG of the DOD had a scathing letter saying, no, you shouldn't do this because it would make the Pentagon's accounting unreliable. Duh. You know? And then there was a letter from the Pentagon Undersecretary for Finance, that's Norquist, and that endorsed it. And not only did it endorse it, but it criticized it for not going far enough in allowing this kind of deceit in the accounting. So that was that was one thing. Then I noticed there was a comment letter from something that was labeled another government agency. That was the CIA. It didn't list itself as the CIA. And the third agency that endorsed it was HUD.
Yes.
And you look at that and you say, wait, HUD? Do they have classified budgets? Well, the interesting thing is that Catherine Austin Fitz, who Mark worked with, was at HUD and said that they did have secret budgets, and they were funneling money maybe to Iran-Contra and stuff. So, yeah, that was interesting that they were endorsing this.
And to maybe put a cap on it, that recommendation was approved by government on October 4th, just in time for the results of the first ever DOD audit. So it's very possible that the reports were misstated in order to hide certain things. And what this rule does is it institutionalizes.
Well, they specifically said that it would apply to the 2018 budget.
So we don't really know, right? We have really two books, one for the public, which can be misstated, and then the real one, which only a small group of people within government would be able to see. And I think that is a real tragedy and does not support democratic processes.
Well, and as you say in your final line of your piece, Dave, about you've got a Pentagon that you feel deliberately misleads the people's representatives in Congress, grabbing more money for itself while hunger, want, climate breakdown, and other ills increasingly afflict the nation. And I think the big question is why the people's representatives in Congress aren't more interested in digging in and demanding accountability.
That, and why don't the people of the United States rise up the way they would if this were a health and welfare department?
Dave Lindorf, contributor to The Nation, and Mark Skidmore, Michigan State University economist. Thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We reached out to Michigan's U.S. senators for comment. The statement from Senator Gary Peters, a ranking member of the Federal Spending Oversight Subcommittee and a member of the Armed Services Committee, reads in part, and I quote, "It is vital that we ensure America's servicemen and women have the resources to execute their mission safely and effectively. However, I remain very concerned with how the Department of Defense has struggled to keep track of funds, and the military must put in place a modern and efficient accounting system." Michigan's other senator, Debbie Stabenow, who sits on the Senate Budget Committee, did not respond to our requests. There is a lot to unpack here. For those of you who want to know more about the Pentagon's budget irregularities, head over to the Stateside page at michiganradio.org, and you can hear an extended conversation with Lindorf and Skidmore. It includes a discussion about a recent push to allow departments with secret budgets, including HUD, to be even more secretive. And that's Stateside for today. Thank you so very much for listening.